We're holding Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Daf Hei Amud Aleph. We had said there's a biblical prohibition of delaying one's sacrifices. That prohibition is called Bal Te'acher, based on the pasuk Lo Te'acher L'Shalemo. You shouldn't delay in paying your dues, the things one dedicated to God, to charity, to the temple. And then the Braisa enumerated different areas where one has this obligation of being on time and not delaying. And one of the things the Braisa said, the last word on the previous page on the Daled Amud Aleph, is Pesach. So the question is, the Korban Pesach has one day, one afternoon during which it may be brought. So what does it mean, don't delay? You have three holidays and you shouldn't delay. So the Gemara says, Pesach, Zimna Kviya Lei, we're five lines from where the lines get wide, or six lines from the bottom. Pesach, sorry, seven lines from the bottom. V'Pesach, you have it, the last word on the line. V'Pesach Balmikra Balgalimu, and is Pesach something that you could bring in the other holidays? What does it mean that you have three holidays to bring the Korban Pesach? Pesach zim nakviyale. Pesach has a set time. If he brought it, he brought it. And if he didn't bring it, so then he's got to wait till Pesach Sheni. What does it mean that Pesach has three holidays? How is Pesach in the listing? Yes, you have only one day to bring it. What does it mean you have three? All the other dedications, they don't have a set times. I understand. You have a statute of limitations, three holidays. But what's Pesach doing in the listing? Amar Rav Chisda, so Rav Chisda taught, Pesach kadinasva. Pesach is mentioned by the way. But Pesach is really just, really edit it, take it out. Pesach just got into the listing. It's mentioned by the way, but really you're right. Pesach is not relevant. Rav Sheshet amar, Rav Sheshet said, My Pesach, Shalmei Pesach. Pesach isn't a reference to the Paschal offering, but rather it's talking about the other sacrifices that are brought on Pesach. On the holiday of Pesach, you bring the Paschal offering, and you also bring Korban Shlomim along with the Paschal offering. And so if you dedicated an animal to bring as a shlomim with the Paschal offering, and you did not bring it with the Paschal offering, so you still have to bring that shlomim, that animal's been dedicated as a sacrifice. So when the Braisa enumerated Pesach, it meant the shlomim that's dedicated with the Paschal offering. And that, you have the same statute of limitations as other korbanos. Ihachi ainu shlomim. So then wait a second, the Braisa enumerated shlomim. Why should this shlomim be any different? So there's the regular shlamim and this shlamim that comes together with the Paschal offering. Answers the Gemara, Tana Shleim Abein Mechamat Pesach v'Tana Shlamim Abein Mechamat Atzman. The Tana enumerated shlamim that come because the Torah says together with the Paschal offering you have to bring other sacrifices. So that's one type of shlamim. And then the Braisa enumerated shlamim that are their own entity. Why did the Tana have to enumerate these separately? Because you might think, being that they're coming because of the Paschal offering, now we turn to Amud Beis, so then they should be like the Korban Pesach, and you have the first holiday, you must bring him that Pesach, and once that Pesach passed, maybe one is in transgression of Baal Te'acher, Kamash Malan. So that's what the Braisa was teaching me, that no, the Shlomim that come with the Korban Pesach, if you didn't bring them with the Korban Pesach, but you dedicated them, so then you have the same statute of limitations as other sacrifices. You didn't bring them the first holiday, bring them the next holiday. Each opinion with its opinion, as we saw. I'm with you.
Well, I don't remember in Mishnah that if you brought the Korban Pesach, that if you had chametz, if you weren't sure whether or not you had chametz in your house, and when you went to Yerushalayim for Pesach, you would have to offer on the second day.
That's a different thing. You can't bring Korban Pesach with chametz, yeah.
But you can do it the second day.
Not second day. It means Pesach Sheni.
You have to do it Pesach Sheni.
Right.
You have to do Pesach Sheni. Okay.
Now the Gemara is going to search We quoted that Baal Ta'acher is relevant to many different mitzvos. So the Gemara is going to say, where'd you get that from? It says about a vow. You dedicated an animal. It says, if you made a dedication, when you take a vow to Hashem your God, lo ta'acher l'shalmo, do not delay in bringing it. Pasuk seems to be talking about one thing, a neder. How do you get this concept that the prohibition of lo ta'acher l'shalmo, when the verse says, do not delay in paying up that vow, it's a reference not only to a vow, to korbanos, to tzedakah, to leket shikha and peyah, to cherem, to hegdish. We had a whole listing on daf hey amad aleph, in daf dalet amad aleph. So the Gemara says now, minani mili, where'd you get that from? That Baal Ta'acher is relevant to so many different mitzvos. Yes, Betzalel.
We should be talking about being pure and not pure. So what about if a person...
We spoke about what?
Yesterday we saw about being Tameh, no? We discussed that.
We discussed Tumat Mikdash V'Kodashav, which sacrifice atoned for that. That the sacrifices of the Regalim atone for that. Yes.
So, but what happens if someone brings a korban for Pesach and you realize only after it's done that will be counted as the offer sacrifice, or he needs to do the same thing on Pesach Sheni?
Pesach Sheni. Okay. Yeah. You could try.
Yeah.
If you want, grab a Gemara and come. Gemara Rosh Hashanah.
I'm just going to throw this out. I'll be right back.
So the Gemara says, Minani Mini, where do we get this halacha from? Where do you derive this concept from that the prohibition of Lo Ta'acher L'Shalmo is relevant to so many mitzvos? The Tanu Rabbanan. Because we have the following braisa that was validated in the academies of Rav Chiya and Rav Hoshaya. It says in that pasuk, Ki Tidor Neder, the pasuk says, when you take a vow to Hashem your God, Lo Ta'acher L'Shalmo, do not delay in paying it. So the Braisa now analyzes the Pasuk and derives from that very Pasuk the applications of the prohibition of Lo Ta'achir. Eni Ela Neder. I know if you take a vow. Neder is when one takes a vow. He says, Hare Alai, I hereby take a vow to bring the following sacrifice. That's a Neder. Nidavaminain, how do I know that the same prohibition applies when one says, this animal will be Ola, Shlamim, Achatos. When one makes an animal as a korban, he doesn't say, I take the responsibility. It's not a neder, it's a nidava. It's a donation. How do I know that the prohibition of Baal Ta'acher applies there as well? Ne'emar kan neder, being that the prosuk, I have a gzeres shava. It says over here the word neder. The ne'emar la'alan, and it says also elsewhere in the Torah, it says, v'im neder o nidava korbano. So it uses the term neder together with nedava. Malalan, just like over there with regard to the sacrifices, the Torah joins neder with nedava. Nedavaimo, neder goes hand in hand with nedava. Afkan, so too over here when the Torah tells me this prohibition of delaying my duties. Nedavaimo, so then nedava goes hand in hand with neder. So step number one, we said the pasuk speaks about neder. How do I know to include what's closest to neder, which is a nedava? That's a sacrifice that I dedicated the animal. I didn't put the responsibility on me that I would bring the sacrifice, but rather I said, this animal will be a sacrifice. Well, that goes hand in hand with neder. We have gzer shava, nemar, nemar. It says it here this way, it says it that way. We learn from one place to the other. So far, so good? Okay, next step. The pasuk says, Kitido neder, when you take a vow, Lashem Elokecha, to Hashem your God. Why does the Pasuk have to mention to Hashem your God? That's teaching me that the Pasuk is speaking about things that are dedicated to Hashem your God. Those are the things that become the property of the temple fund. Meaning the temple has its own treasury. That's called Bedek Habayis. Bedek Habayis literally means the fund that was used to fix the house. But Bedek HaBayis is a more general term that refers to the fund of the Beis HaMikdash. It's not the sacrifices. It's other monies and other things that were donated to the temple.
So was also this served the one more korbanot? Enough korbanot to do on a day? Lack of korbanot.
Okay, yeah. They would take money from there to do whatever was needed on the temple. They took money from there. So that was the house fund, so to speak. So when the pasuk says Lashem Elokecha Tashem, your God, that's a reference to monies that go to God's fund, so to speak. It's not korbanos. What's God's fund? That's the Beis Hamikdash fund. That's the Bedek Habayis. What money goes to the Bedek Habayis? Elu Hadamin Ha'erichin Ve'acharamin Ve'egdeshot. Different types of dedications. You look back at the Dalet Amud Aleph, you see, damin is when a person says, demi alai, person takes a vow, I'll give my value. Charamin is when he says, chirem, we said that's another term of dedication. And erech is a third type of dedication, and hegdish is a fourth type of dedication. These are four terms, and each has their own sets of halachos. Four terms one can use to make dedications to the bedek habayis, to the house fund.
Ispan shkalim.
Excuse me?
Ispan shkalim, or is ispan in kushim?
Each one has their own area where they're found. Erechin is its own tractate. Haramin appears in Erechin a little bit and in other tractates. Hekdish appears throughout kushim. Damin is a little bit there and a little bit in Nidarim. Lo te'acher, and a little bit in Baba Basra. Lo te'acher l'shalemo. So the pasuk says, "Do not delay in paying up, in paying it l'shalemo." Notice the stress. It to the exclusion of something else. Hu ve'lo chilufav, and not its exchange. Meaning, the Gemara is going to explain. This is still the brisa. The Gemara is going to take apart this brisa. So let's just hear the brisa out, and then the Gemara is going to explain this line in the brisa. So the pasuk said, neder includes neder and nedava. Lashem Elokecha covers all the dedications. It says, lo ta'acher l'shalemo, do not delay in paying it up, it, but not its exchange. The pasuk continues and says, do not delay, ki darosh yidreshenu, Hashem Elokecha me'imach. Ki darosh yidreshenu, for Hashem your God will seek it out from you. Kidarosh yidreshenu, what does it mean Hashem will seek it out from you? That's a reference to areas where, so to speak, you owe it to the temple. Where do you owe it to the temple? Those are sacrifices that one's obligated to bring because he sinned. The chata sacrifice, an asham sacrifice, an ola sacrifice, a shlomim sacrifice. We said in honor of each holiday you have to bring a shlomim sacrifice. So darosh yidreshenu, Hashem will demand it of you. So the pasuk is also talking about areas that Hashem demands of us. Those are those sacrifices which you must bring. They're not voluntary. If one sinned, he must bring a chatas, or an asham, or an ola, depending on the sin, or a shlamim, for in honor of the holidays. So, kidarosh yidreshenu, for Hashem will seek it out from you. Elu, that's a reference to chataot v'ashamot olot u'shlamim. Hashem Elokecha, so we say Hashem Elokecha is superfluous. It could have just said, Kidrosh Yidreshenu, for he will seek it out. And we know who's going to seek it out. Why does it add Hashem Elokecha? So the indication is that there are mitzvos where the term Hashem Elokecha is used. When it comes to the mitzvah of tzedakah, it says, Ulecha tiyeh tzedakah lifnei Hashem Elokecha. When it comes to ma'aser, it says, V'achalta lifnei Hashem Elokecha. So the word Hashem Elokecha is used with reference to tzedakah and ma'aser. So when the pasuk said, Ki darosh yidreshenu Hashem Elokecha, the word Hashem Elokecha is also, so to speak, a code for the mitzvah of tzedakah and ma'aser. So here the brisa says, we have an indication that Elu tzedakot u'ma'asrot u'bechor, these three mitzvos, tzedakah, ma'aser, and bechor, that these three also have this din of do not delay. Then the pasuk says, Me'imach, Hashem will seek it out from you. What's the reference from you? So, Me'imach also means from within you, from what you have. From what you have is a reference to the crops you have and what you have to take out of that to give the poor. The Torah calls what we give the poor, what we give the poor that are within you. The Torah calls the poor, He'ani imach. So when the word says, Me'imach, When the pasuk says Me'imach, Chazal understood that was a code for the imach, the one that's called with you. Who's the one that's called with you? The poor. So the poor, the Torah allocates leket shekhanteya and says Ha'ani imach, give them to the poor that's with you. So when the pasuk says Hashem, don't delay because Hashem will seek it out from with you. From with you is code for zeleket shekhanteya, the mitzvahs of leket shikcha and peyah, the grains that we leave for the poor. These are drushes. And then the pasuk concludes and says, because if you delay, v'aya v'chachet, there will be a sin within you. The Talmud understands that to mean the sin is in you, but it doesn't affect the sacrifice, meaning you could still bring the sacrifice. V'aya v'chachet, the pasuk is stressing there'll be a sin in you, v'lo b'korban chachet, but this sin does not disqualify the sacrifice. There's no sin on the sacrifice. So that's the braisa. And now the Gemara is going to expand on this braisa. Now we're going to focus and take apart this braisa. Amar mar, the rabbi said, lo ta'acher l'shalmo hu v'lo chilufav. The first thing the braisa said was that when, second thing the braisa said was that when the Torah says, do not delay in paying it, but not its exchange. The mitzvah of lo ta'acher, do not delay, is relevant to it and not its exchange. So now the Gemara is going to try to understand what is chilufav. And this Gemara is going to take us, now it's going to take us a long while to figure out what is this chilufav. So let's see. My chilufei my. The Gemara says, what exchange? What are we talking about here? You guys with me? Okay. So we have to know that there is a capacity for exchanging an animal for a sacrifice. Let's say a person dedicated an animal for a specific sacrifice, and then the animal gets lost. So you could dedicate another animal in its place. What happens if the new animal turns up? So depending on the sacrifice, there are different laws as to how we work this out. But this is where we have situations where you have exchange. Where you could have one animal dedicated instead of the other. You dedicated Flossie the cow for your sacrifice, and then Flossie got lost, so you dedicated Bessie. And then when you take Bessie up to the temple, suddenly your neighbor shows up at the temple and he says, hey, I found Flossie. You're standing up there, who do I sacrifice, Flossie or Bessie?
Or both.
Oh, so it depends on the sacrifice. So the Gemara says, Chilufei mai. What kind of sacrifice are we talking about that you exchanged Bessie for Flossie? If we're talking about a situation where Flossie was supposed to be an Ola, or she was supposed to be a Shlamim, and then you dedicated Bessie, and then you found Flossie. Now, you found Flossie after you sacrificed Bessie. So you say to yourself, hey, I did my Ola, I did my dues, I did my Shlamim. Now what about Flossie? Well, I gave Flossie holiness, but I already did my dues. So, though, nonetheless, you do what Yossi said, Mikav Kalve, you bring the sacrifice. What's the problem? And if you bring the sacrifice, then Flossie again becomes your sacrifice, and the prohibition of do not delay should apply. So what does it mean that we say the prohibition of do not delay, Bal Te'acher, applies to it, but not its exchange? If you exchanged Bessie for Flossie for an Ol or a Shlamim, and then you sacrificed Bessie, but then Flossie turned up, well then go sacrifice Flossie and Ola and a Shlamim, you could bring a second time. So then it should have the same halachos of Baal Te'acher.
Does that mean that the first sacrifice did nothing? Like it wasn't
No. It counted, but you can bring these as a donation. So bring these as a donation.
You must.
Wait, clarifying again, Rabbi. Ola is thrown on the altar and burn it completely.
Mm-hmm.
Shlamim is you roast it or cook it somehow in the Beit HaMikdash and you invite all your friends to come and eat it.
You eat it, the kohen eats it, and part of it gets burned. That's what's called shlamim. It's whole. Everyone gets from it.
Oh, but
the altar gets some, the kohen gets some, you get some. You could also give your guests, yeah.
Well, don't you have a lot to eat?
Okay, maybe you have a big family.
So, but what about if one of the cows
or a big stomach, yeah, or a small animal.
What about if one of the cows is his parnasta, and he can only offer one cow, and the other one is his parnasta? So if he found the Flossie or Bessie, whatever,
he's got a problem.
Wait, he lost the first one, and he was going to sacrifice his second one.
That, he needs to he thought he was going to lose both.
There is a concept in Kachim, just like in other Nidarim, that a person can be Shoel al Nidro. A person can undo a vow, but it's complicated. So, okay, back to our Gemara.
So this exchange, this means you cannot even exchange for money and buy an animal there?
No. Once an animal got kedusha, you can't redeem it. No. So what exchange are we talking about? If it's the exchange of a shlamim or an ola, well, you could bring them both. You, now that you found them, bring them both. Ichilufei chatat. If the flasi was supposed to be a chata sacrifice, and then you lost flasi, so you brought besi. Well, now that besi was brought, you got atonement. So then flasi, she is one of the five chata sacrifices that we have on tradition, that you let them die. You can't bring them as a sacrifice. You can't use the animal. The animal has holiness, so you let it die. There are with five animals that are like that, that you, once it was dedicated for chatas, it was disqualified from coming as a chatas for whatever reason. In this case, because you no longer need that chatas, so then you can't use it, and you can't sacrifice it, so you just let it die. You don't let it reproduce either. You don't use it. You're not allowed to derive benefit from it. When we learn kachim, we'll learn how you do it.
But what if you need another sacrifice? Could you then
no.
Use
no? Nope. Ela mai chilufav. So then what was the Braisa talking about when the Braisa said that the exchange animal does not have the prohibition of bal ta'acher? Chilufei todah. We're talking about a situation where he had to bring a toda sacrifice, and he had the following situation. He found Flossie while Bessie was still alive. And then he has a problem that they got mixed up. And now the question is, which is Flossie and which is Bessie? Mm-hmm. So, Ditani Rebichia taught the following brisa. Todah shenitarva b'tmurata. Let's say a person had a toda sacrifice, and then he did a biblical prohibition. The Torah says, once you've dedicated an animal, that's it. You can't take it back. No backsies. But the Torah says, and don't try to say besies instead of flasi. That doesn't work. When you have flasi standing here, that's it. You dedicated flasi, she's got to go. Let's say the guy didn't know that, and the guy transgressed, and he did a tamura. He did an exchange while Flossy was standing here. Meaning, when Flossy got lost, okay, you got to do a different animal for your sacrifice. Okay, you take Bessie. But if Flossy is standing here, so then the Torah says, you're not allowed to exchange it for another animal. You dedicated this animal, it's over. This animal's got to go. So he stands there and he says, no, Bessie's instead of Flossy. So he does a tamura. Tamura means, this is instead of that. Says the Torah, if you did that, the hayahu tmurato yiyeh kodesh, then flasi and basi are holy. When you said besi instead of flasi, what you did, you gave besi holiness, you didn't take the holiness away from flasi. That's what the Torah says. Don't do it. And if you did it, this is what will happen.
How can you take the kedusha from flasi?
He didn't. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Nothing left flasi.
When we attribute kedusha to an animal, we can tell you that.
When what?
You said it, flossy. You could not take kedusha from flossy.
Correct.
We said it, as soon as one animal is chosen to be a sacrifice, we cannot take kedusha from that animal.
Correct.
So how can you say that he couldn't change?
He didn't change. That's what Torah says. You didn't take anything away from flossy, but now Bessie is also.
Okay.
So Rabbi Chiya taught the following: Todah shenitarva b'tmurata. Let's say the Torah, the toda sacrifice, flasi was supposed to be a toda sacrifice, and then this guy made a mistake. He made a tmura on Bessie. He said Bessie should be instead of flasi. Now they're both holy, but flasi is the real toda sacrifice. So flasi is the one that's supposed to have its 40 breads with it, and then flasi and Bessie get mixed. And he's not sure, hey, wait a second, which one's Flossie, which one's Bessie? One of them is the Toda, and the other one is the Tmura of the Toda. The other one was the one that he made a mistake. He said, this should be instead of this. So now they're both holy. But one's a Toda, and one's a Tmura's Toda. So they both got mixed. And to make matters worse, Memeta Achadmen, so then one of them drops dead. Now he has a problem. Wait a second, which one's the one that's left? If it's my original flasi, so I could bring her together with the breads, the holy breads that are supposed to be brought. If it's my besi, well, besi doesn't get bread. Besi isn't a toda. She's a tmuras toda. Besi was the exchange. I just gave her holiness. I got to sacrifice her, but she doesn't get the breads of the toda. But I don't know which one's here, so what do I do? So Rabbi Chiya taught, chavirta en la takana. You have no way of fixing it. You're stuck. Hey Chilevit, what can he do? You'll say, I'll sacrifice this animal with the bread. Maybe this is Besi. Maybe this is the exchange animal. The exchange animal doesn't get bread. You'll say, okay, I'll sacrifice it without the bread. Maybe this is Besi. Wait a second, but maybe this is the original flasi. Maybe this is the original animal that was supposed to be brought with the bread. So, in such a situation, you're not going to transgress if you pass the statute of limitations. That's what the Braisa was saying. That if you have this situation, so the Torah says, don't delay in bringing it, but not a situation like this where you have a question whether this is it or it's exchange. That's what the Braisa meant when it said it and not the exchange. So the Gemara says, wait a second. If I can't bring the animal as a sacrifice, so why does the pasuk have to tell me, and you're not transgressing by not sacrificing it? Well, of course I'm not transgressing. I can't. There's no way I could sacrifice it. So I need a pasuk to tell me that when three holidays pass, I'm not in transgression of delaying the sacrifice. I can't bring the sacrifice.
But why can't you just bring the bread out of sefek?
You can't.
You can't.
Correct. Right. Amar Rav Sheshat. So Amar Rav Sheshat. So Rav Sheshat said, I'm sorry, we just got in before Mincha. Really, we're talking about a situation where Flasi was supposed to be an Olor or Shlamim. She got lost, and then you exchanged her for Besi. And the Braisa came to tell me there's no Baal Ta'acher on Besi, on the exchange of an Ola and a Shlamim. You'll tell me what's the Chiddush? If this is its own carbon, of course it should have Baal Ta'acher. Why shouldn't it have Baal Ta'acher? What happened here is you dedicated Flasi. Two holidays passed. You're about to pass the statute of limitations, and then Flasi gets a mum. She loses a leg. You can't bring Flasi. Now you dedicate Besi. So Besi's instead of Flasi because Flasi is no longer eligible. Now Besi passes the third holiday. You might think, being that Bessie is coming instead of Flossie. Flossie already passed two holidays. Maybe Bessie will fulfill the third holiday and then you'll be in transgression. Maybe that's like having transgressed three holidays. That's what the Braisa taught me. No, each sacrifice has its own count as far as the holidays. Wait a second. What about Rabbi Meir? He says one holiday is enough to transgress. How are you going to answer him? We're talking about where it got the mum in the middle of the regal, and then you exchanged it. And then half the regal went on this one, half on that one. You might think, being that they're both, this one's coming in exchange for that one, so you say half a regal on this one, half a regal on that one, he's in transgression of Baal Ta'acher, according to Rabbi Meir. Kamash Malan, that's what's come to teach you, that it doesn't work that way. Okay, we'll pause here.